When Danny Elfman wrote his first film score, he couldn't read music. Yet that score for Pee-wee's Big Adventure turned into one of the more memorable film scores of the 80s. Elfman has become one of the top young composers in Hollywood. He also wrote the scores for Big Top Pee-wee, Beetlejuice, and Scrooged. Elfman has a parallel rock career as the leader of the band Oingo Boingo. The most hyped film of the summer is Batman. You may have read that Prince wrote songs for it, but Danny Elfman wrote the score. And in part two of our interview, we get a preview. Danny Elfman, you know that when people come to see Batman that they're already going to have music in mind because of the old Batman TV theme. Did you want to kind of ignore that and write something that didn't pay homage or acknowledge that theme at all?
No homage whatsoever. There's not really too much homage to the television show in the movie, so there was no reason to do it in the music.
Before writing the theme, did you have to sit down with the director, Tim Burton, and decide, you know, what kind of tone the theme should have?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What did you talk about? What did you decide on?
We basically, when we sit down and it's what you call spotting a movie, you talk about the entire movie as a whole and you talk about different variations that you're going to want the theme to take. We needed something that was very simple so it could state itself in very few notes and still become Batman's identity, and that could play both in a more gothic, romantic sense or in a more kind of an up-tempo march.
Yeah, when did you start becoming aware of good film music?
When I was about 12, 13, and I was growing up on all those wonderful science fictions in the 60s, many of them which had Bernard Herrmann scores, although I didn't know who it was really until later. I knew that it had a big effect on me. Journey to the Center of the Earth, Jason and the Argonauts, The Day the Earth Stood Still, which is still one of my favorite scores. That's where I really started becoming aware of film music. And then as a teenager, I got heavily into other composers, and especially Fellini films with Nina Rota's music.
I think really some of the best orchestral music of the 20th century has been written for the movies. Did you ever feel like where else could you get to write the kind of music you're writing, and where else would it get performed?
In my case,
yeah.
Nowhere else in any way, shape, or form, at least not during my lifetime.
Has writing film music given you the opportunity to express certain musical interests of yours that wouldn't be of interest at all to a rock audience? I'm thinking a lot of people have...
I don't think it would be of any interest to a rock audience.
Yeah, well, I think some people even have musical tastes that they'd be almost embarrassed to admit to a rock audience because it would be considered square or something.
Well, everything I write for orchestra is square by rock and roll standards. I don't give a damn what anybody thinks. I love the challenge, and I love working in film, and I also love doing rock and playing with the band. So what a rock and roll audience may or may not think of my work for film, I really could care less if it works for the film. And vice versa, I don't care what people who are into my music or into film music in general think of what I do when I'm with Oingo Boingo.
Do you hear any connection at all between your rock work with Oingo Boingo and your film scores?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. In fact, I think that's probably why I've gotten successful as a film composer coming from rock and roll. I think that's the mistake most rock and rollers make when they get a chance to score films, is they don't leave what they've done behind them and approach it completely fresh as a completely new medium. And I fortunately elected on my first film there to let it all go and go back to my early roots as a child before I even ever heard rock and roll.
Which was what?
When I used to listen to films, the types mm-hmm. of films that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was, if there's anything in retrospect that I did right, it was approaching my first film orchestrally with no rock and roll attitude towards it at all.
Have you ever had to take an assignment that you thought was kind of middle of the road? You knew you wouldn't be excited by the kinds of music the director wanted, but you took it on anyways.
Well, I've never taken a film where I couldn't write the type of music that I wanted to write, but I've written music for some really silly films that I knew were not going to be extremely inspirational and that I wouldn't be able to write any very inspired music to, but I was interested in doing them because I want to learn about all kinds of film and film music, and it's much harder to write behind a scene where people are talking or telling jokes or something than it is to write behind a scene where a plane is flying in the air over vast landscapes, or somebody is looking off into the distance, or you're on a montage where there's no dialogue at all. That's the easy stuff. So I did movies like Back to School and some stuff like that, that certainly the music I wrote for it isn't as wild or interesting, I think, as Beetlejuice or Pee-wee or Batman or any of those movies. But it was a challenge for me to deal with a movie that had almost all dialogue and all talking, so I was interested in doing it at that time. I'm not interested in doing those anymore.
What new challenges did writing the score for the Batman movie have for you?
Well, it was my first action-adventure epic type of a score, so it was real difficult in that sense. It was also a lot of music, 75 minutes of score. Beetlejuice only had maybe 48 minutes, which is about average for a film. And also I was dealing with it in a much more simple way than I would most movies. I tried to take an approach that was almost more going towards Max Steiner's type of approach to movies in the 40s, of dealing with many variations on a single simple theme.
Mm-hmm. Did writing the music for Batman also bring you back to some of the movies that you really loved as a kid, like Journey to the Center of the Earth?
Oh, yeah.
Big
yeah,
scores.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if I don't pay homage to Neil Hefti for writing the Batman television theme, I definitely paid homage to Carl Orff in one place and to Bernard Herrmann, specifically to Journey to the Center of the Earth in another scene, and to Max Steiner in a couple of other scenes. So yeah, I'm often and frequently paying homage to other composers that I love, and it's fun to do that, especially if it's the kind of music that I love writing and I loved listening to in the past.
Your best-known scores, like the Pee-wee films and Beetlejuice, are very playful in tone, and I think the Batman score sounds more suspense-adventure-oriented.
Oh, it's definitely got more of a darker element, although there's some of the wildest music I've ever written in Batman. There's a chase cue with the Batmobile that I think is by far the craziest piece of orchestral music I've ever played. God knows the members of the orchestra were sweating while they were playing it.